This is Pastor Mike Parks welcoming you to Church 180's weekly radio broadcast, Turn Your Life Around. It is our prayer that through the word we are about to share, that you would be encouraged, enlightened, and empowered to get your life on track through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's get right into the message this week. I hope it's a blessing. So what we're doing now is for now, from this Sunday till God says, every Sunday is going to be about an aspect or a characteristic of God so that we could get to know God, not to know about him. Listen, if all I do is you walk out of here knowing more about God, I failed. That is not my purpose. My purpose is to you to get to know God. And the more you know about God, the more you can get to have a relationship with him. Listen, it's all about relationship. In Matthew chapter 7, I told you this last week, it says basically, the people stood before God and he said, didn't we do this in your name? And didn't we do that in your name? You know, didn't we go to church every Sunday? And he says, depart from me because I never knew you. And that word know there means because we did not have a relationship. You know, I think it's funny. People who go to church on Sunday think you deserve an award. But Sister Janice said so plainly yesterday, just because you go sit in a car or you sit in a garage don't make you a car. Just because you go and sit yourself in the garage don't make you a car. And just because you come and sit here on Sunday mornings does not make you a follower of Christ. Amen. Do you understand? My job is to get you introduced into a relationship with God. And so the very first thing we're going to talk about today is found in St. John chapter 4. Is the first thing we're going to say is, who is God? Say, who is God? The first thing we're going to talk about says this plainly. Verse 24 in the first four words. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, because God is a spirit, there are three attributes that we can attribute to God because he is a spirit. The first one is just like we are a spirit, God is eternal. Now, the difference between us and God is God is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God, what I'm saying is there was no beginning to God. God is. God was, God is, and God will be evermore. Okay, but we had a beginning. God's always been God. Amen? Do you understand the difference? But when God breathed life into us, and I'm going to share this verse in a little bit, we became an eternal spirit. And because we were made in his likeness as a spirit, we are going to live eternally somewhere. Amen. We are either going to live it in heaven with God or in hell with the devil. And you know the cool part of that is it's our choice. It's someone else don't get to decide for us. We get to decide. Amen. We get to choose. Glory to God. But God is a spirit. And the first thing I want you to understand is God is, because he's a spirit, is he's eternal. Let's look at Psalm 90 and what David had to say about God being eternal. It says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth or the world. So before anything was ever created, even from everlasting to everlasting, look at what David said, thou art God. See, one of the first things you need to learn about God is that there is a God and you're not him. I'm going to say that again. One of the greatest victories, greatest freedoms you can ever have in life is realize there is a God who's in control. There is a God who has your best interest at heart. There is a God who loved you so much. He sent his only begotten son, Jesus, that he gave his life for you. There is a God, but you're not him. Amen. See, he said from everlasting, he said, thou art God. You turn man to destruction and say, return ye children of men. Watch this. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. David's saying 1,000 years is just nothing to God because God is eternal. And you say, why is that important? Because it gives us hope of an eternal life. It gives us hope that just what we experience here on earth isn't it. That what we go through down here is just a test. It's just a trial. It's just a warm-up, if you will. My dad used to call it a dressing room. We used to get ready to go to heaven here. That's what this is for, is to get ready.
But God is eternal, and the great thing is, because of what his son Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, we can live eternally with him. God is eternal. Another thing that God is eternal is means he cannot die. And later on in this year, when we talk about how God is a covenant God, that's one of the things we're going to talk about in one of the attributes of God. A covenant means that it is a contract signed in blood. That means if I break this contract, I die. That's what a covenant is, a contract signed in blood that literally means if this contract is broken, you can kill me. But see, God can't die. You understand, even when Jesus was on the cross, they did not kill Jesus. He gave up the ghost. Do you understand? All Jesus did was step out of the physical body that he was in and went into the depths, is what the Bible tells us. And that he preached to the captives, that he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And then the Bible said he ascended into heaven and put his blood on the mercy seat of God. And then he came back, got into that body, come out of the tomb on the third day. Glory to God, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Glory to God. God is eternal. And because he cannot die, his covenant cannot be broken. Do you understand? The promises of God are yes, and in him, amen. There are three scriptures I want to show that show God's eternal. There's several, but I chosen three. Number one, Matthew 24, basically tells us that his word is eternal. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, God does not change. You got that one? Malachi 3, verse 6. There it is. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not. Let me tell you what this means. See, this is another cool thing about God. That means if God said it, he doesn't change his mind. In another place, it tells us the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That means God does not turn. See, the word repent, we think it means to tell God we're sorry. That is not what repentance means. Repentance means to turn from that which you were, the way you were going, to turn and head back the other direction. That's what repentance means. And the Bible says God's gifts are without repentance. In other words, God's never going to turn away from that which he's called you to do. Do you understand? God does not change his mind. God's not schizophrenic. God doesn't tell you to do one thing one day and then tell you to do something the next day. One of those wasn't God. Maybe both. We're not God if you're hearing more than one voice. You say, hey, Pastor Mike, how can you say that? Because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. You ought to be able to know the difference between God and the devil. You ought to be able to know the difference between God and yourself. The third scripture I want to show you is Hebrews 13. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. God is eternal. And not only is God eternal himself, that he cannot die, but his word is eternal, and what he says lasts for all eternity. You realize this word of God right here, this lasts for all eternity. If there's a promise in here that God gave Abraham, it's your promise too. If there's a promise in here that God gave David, it's your promise too. If there's a promise in here that God gave Jesus, the Bible says we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So whatever God gave Jesus, he gave us. Do you understand that whatever this says, this is eternal and it does not change. God has promised us great things, and we just need to get to know him. Praise the Lord. So number one, God is eternal because he's a spirit. Number two, because God is a spirit, he does not have physical limitations. You know, in high school, I could dunk. You guys know what dunking is? I could take a donut and put it in a coffee. No. I could dunk a basketball in high school. Now, if I wanted to dunk a basketball today, I want you to understand, I have physical limitations. My spirit might be willing, but my flesh is weak. Amen? Amen. And in some places it's strong, it's too strong. For me to dunk a basketball, I would have to do what the mascots do and get a trampoline. I'd have to use something to overcome gravity. You understand? See, the reason I can't dunk a basketball isn't because of my will, isn't because of my desire, it's because of gravity. But let me tell you something. See, people say, I want you to see, go ahead and show them John 6. See, God is a spirit. And because God is a spirit, he does not have physical limitations. Now watch this. It is the spirit that quickens, that means gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. Watch this. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. And what is the word, or who is the word? See, that's why Jesus, if Jesus was here, Jesus could dunk. Even though he has a physical, I want you to understand this. Even though Jesus had a spiritual body, because he was the Word of God, because the Word of God is spirit, because God is a spirit, therefore Jesus did not have physical limitations like we did. You say, how do you get that? He walked on water. One time he made the Pharisees really mad and they mobbed him and they gathered around him and the Bible says he passed through the midst of them. He went poof. Some of y'all would call that magic. Jesus would call that him. After his death, now I want you to see this. When he died and was risen again, the disciples were all in this room hiding. And I watched the movie and I know whose house it was, but I can't remember his name. I think it began with a C. And they're in this guy's house hiding. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks through a wall and appears. He didn't come through the door. Read your Bible. It's in there. He just appears in the room. Now, here's the cool part. You say, well, he was in spirit form. No, he wasn't, because when Thomas said, I won't believe it, he said, here, touch. And Thomas was able to touch the holes in his hand. But even though just because Jesus had a body, because he was God and was a spirit, he did not have physical limitations. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is, no matter what you're going through, that's why with God, all things are possible, because no matter what you're going through, God is not limited to the things we're limited to. God is not held back by the things that hold us back, and God can do anything. God is a spirit, and because of that, he has no physical limitations. Show him 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 18, it says, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Because the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What God is saying is, I am a spirit. I have no physical limitations. Stop looking at your circumstances. Stop looking at what you're going through, because all of that's going to change. But I am God. I change not, and I can overcome it. Glory to God. God is a spirit, and he has no physical limitations. This is why we worship God. This is why we praise God, because he can do all things. See, we all the time quote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The reason we say that is because he can do all things. You know, when you're a kid who's going to college and the college tells you, we can't help you. No one can help you. You're going to have, sorry about your luck. And that kid doesn't have any kind of income, and he doesn't have any way to anybody that can help him. And he looks and says, let's no worry, God's got it. The reason he said that is because God has no limitations. Listen, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. And I don't know what cows are selling for these days, but God don't have any hurt. And now he's got more than enough to get his college started, more than enough to finish. God's going to bless him all the way through, and God's going to take care of him, and he's going to graduate, and he's going to stand up here one day with his bachelor's degree, not because of what he could do, but because of what God can do. All things are possible to him that believe, but not just believe, but believe in God. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, real simple, he said, have faith in God. In verse 23, the very next verse, he said, because whoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Why? Not because you asked, but because of who you asked. Because of who you had faith in. Because of who you believed in. God is limitless. He has no physical limitations. Praise God. Third thing, and this is my favorite one. Couldn't have timed this one any better. Because God is a spirit, he is the life force of the world. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, and God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, look at this, the breath of life. Notice it doesn't say he breathed air into their nostrils. Notice it doesn't say he put oxygen in them. No. See, he breathed into them. That means blue. The breath of life. The third thing you have to understand about spirits is just like our spirit and our body is our life force. Do you understand that our bodies without the spirit in them are nothing but a pile of dirt? Do you understand? That's why when someone passes, their body just, it's there. It doesn't move. It cannot move. Why? Because that which was its life force is gone. But see, God is a spirit too. And how man was created is he formed Adam of the dust of the ground. And he took dirt and he made Adam. But when he got done making Adam, he breathed into him. And when he breathed into him, he didn't just breathe air. He didn't just breathe God's breath. No, he breathed life force into him. He breathed into him life. God is life. Do you understand? Jesus said, I came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Listen, life is not this existence. What Jesus was talking about, I came that you may have life. He's saying, I came that you may have God. Oh, I'm going to let that settle for a minute because I don't think some of y'all get that. Because God is life. The Bible says in John chapter 1, right around verse 4, it says, and Jesus in him was light, and the light was the life of men. God is the life force. And what Jesus came to do was to bring us to the Father. In John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus' whole purpose was to come and bridge the gap of sin that had been made between God and man. He came to bring man back to God. He came to bring man to life. And that life was God. He came to bring us to God, and in God is life. See, we want to call life physical things. We want to call living physical things. No, things like love, things like joy, things like peace. Things like that is life. You can give me all the money in the world, and if I had no love, what would I have? Give me all the money in the world, and if I had no joy, what would I have? I mean, don't get me wrong. If I won the Powerball, I would be happy. But happy has to do with happenstance. It's the same root word. It means that you are joyful for what happened. But things change. And happiness can quickly go. But happiness has nothing to do with joy. See, in my heart, I'm going to be sad when my mom goes on to be with the Lord. But I also, and sad is opposite of happy. Sad is not opposite of joy. I'm still going to have joy in my heart because I know where she is and I know how to get there. Do you understand the difference? Sadness is just the opposite of happy. It has nothing to do with joy. But if I had all the money in the world and I didn't have joy, what would I have? Oh, here we go. If I had all the money in the world and I didn't have peace, what would I have? See, God came to bring us love and joy and peace. He came to give us life. That's really living. Do you not understand? God, now listen, I'm not saying God won't bless you financially. The Bible's got principles. Listen, there are principles in the Bible. And the first one is work. I just let that settle in. The first one is you go to work. All right? And when you went to work, you put God first. There's a principle of tithing. And God blesses you when you tithe. I get a witness for anybody who's experienced that God's blessing, how things keep popping up, how things keep going well. God's been really good to me and my family. And it's because we tithed. Amen. And worked. Amen. It's because we worked and we tithed. And there's other principles in the Bible. It says when you see a brother in need and you have to give of him, give to him. And give not greedily or expecting something in return, but give a joyful, because God loves a joyful giver. See, giving brings joy. You see what I'm talking about? God came to give us life. And there are principles in the Bible. And if you follow those principles, you are going to be financially blessed. Yes. But that's just something that God brings with him. That's just a blessing that comes along with knowing God. Just like, listen, this lady here, she can cook. You understand? It does look like it. Amen. I don't understand. Amen. Glory to God. Now listen, I'm going to be serious, and I'm not going to let my mama hear this. But I was skinny when we got married because mama couldn't cook like she could. Amen. My mom had like three things she made. You realize when my mom made spaghetti, she fried hamburger, put tomato juice in it, and put noodles in it. And that was spaghetti. When she makes spaghetti, it not only has meat in it, it not only has sauce in it, not tomato juice, sauce. It has garlic added to it, little bit of sugar added to it, little bit of chili powder added to it. And she does it all in just the right mix that when she makes it, the boys get bowls this big around. And I'm one of the boys. Amen. Glory to God. She makes this thing called Amish fried chicken. Glory to God. God bless the Amish. Glory to God. And when she makes it, she makes homemade mashed potatoes. And she doesn't just boil potatoes and mash them. Oh, there's all kinds of stuff in there. And she knows what she's doing. But I didn't marry her because she can cook. I married her because she's awesome. I married her because she's beautiful. I married her because she completes me. The cooking is just a blessing that came along with it. And when you give God your heart and you seek God for him because you realize he is awesome, because you realize he's beautiful, because you realize that he completes you, you're going to be blessed. So many people seek God for his blessing. If all I wanted was a good cook, I could find a good restaurant. I could just go to White Star every day. They know how to cook. But I wasn't seeking cooking. I was seeking awesome. You understand? That was really good. I wasn't in my notes. Praise God. Self high five. That's all God. I can't take credit for that because he's awesome. Do you understand? Listen. God is the, listen, if you were a Jedi, God would be called the Force. And if you were an Autobot, God would be called the Allspark. Some of you are like, what's he talking about? The movie watchers got it. But you're called humans. And so therefore, he's called the breath of life. But listen, until he breathes into you, by the way, do you know what word we get from the word breath? The word that they translate into breath, do you know what word we get in English from? Inspire. Inspiration. When God inspires you, when God breathes on you, when he gives you inspiration, there's a spark that happens on the inside of you, and that spark becomes a flame, and that flame becomes a fire, and that fire dispels the darkness. Just like the other day when I had the light bulb in the headlight. When the light bulb got where it was supposed to be, not on my forehead, That was, see, I put it somewhere. I tried to put the light somewhere. It did not belong. And what happened? Pain and suffering. See, God uses things. Do you not understand? Look how God just used that. God used my scar for and my pain and suffering to show you a great example of what happens when you try to put God where he don't belong. But when God got in the spot, remember the light was bright, but remember how much powerful the light was when it got put in the place, when it became the spark of that headlight lamp? Do you understand? When it became the source of that headlamp's power, do you understand that when it was the spark that lit up the dark is what I'm trying to say. Do you understand that when it got where it was meant to be, when it filled the hole that was created for it to fill? See, we have a void in our lives, and we try to fill it with everything we can find. We try to fill it with all these kind of things. You realize there are people last night. I watched the Bengals game. And there were people last night. You should be running and shouting, brother. You Steeler fan, you. Oh, glory to God. Yeah. Yes, he is. It's because the Bengals have a demon playing for him. Where's number 55? But anyway, we're going to get on here. All right. Woo. There were people bawling their eyes out last night. They showed fans in the stands just bawling, just crying, because they lost a football game. That's because they were trying to allow football to be the thing that filled the void. And when football let them down, just like everything else that we try to cram into our lives to fill the void, lets us down, because I promise you, no matter what you try to put in the void, it's going to let you down, because you were created to carry the light. You were created to carry the Spirit of God. That's the only thing that's going to fit. It's the only thing that's ever going to make you feel whole. It's the only thing that's ever going to make you feel complete. And unless you allow God to do that, but when you allow God to do that, you remember, I couldn't see past the front row, but when the light came with the headlamp and they came together, I could see a bright light and I could see all the way to the back of the room, because it was doing what it was created to do. And God is the life force. He is the breath of life. And when he breathes inside of you, you'll become a light and a beacon that people from all around the world can see. Do you understand this morning? God is a spirit. Now, really quick, I'm going to touch on one thing as quick as I can. In the very first verse I gave, John 4:24, it says, God is a spirit. But then it goes on to say, and they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Let me tell you what that means. That means you need to worship eternally. That means if you're living a life that doesn't give God worship and praise, you need to start today, and you don't ever need to quit. Amen. Eternally. So number one, you need to worship like in spirit, eternally. Number two, you need to worship without limits. See, some of y'all in here, you think it's a sin to clap your hands. It's not a sin. In this church, it's okay to clap in this place. It's okay to raise your hands. See, you need to worship God without physical limitations. It's okay. Listen, it's okay to dance. It's okay. Amen. But we need to worship God without limits. And the third thing is, listen, if you're going to worship God in spirit, you must return the breath of life that God gave to you back to him. And you do that through your words. You do that through talking to him. You do that through speaking and telling him how great he is and how wonderful he is.
I pray this week's message has touched your heart. If you have need of prayer or would like more information, you can call Church 180 at 937-386-0333. Visit our website at www.church180.org or check out our Facebook page. Our church is non-denominational with a welcoming environment. Blue jeans are welcome, and so are you. Church 180 is located at 2556 Moores Road in Seaman, Ohio, right across from North Adams High School. We would love to have you come be part of our family. The services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. This is Pastor Mike Parks praying you have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday right here on C103.